Please join me this morning in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Can you imagine the conversation around St. Matthew, who we celebrate in reverence today, in his former life? You slime-sucking, useless piece of flesh. Matt was hated. I mean despised. He was a tax collector, and he represented the Roman Empire, and he made sure that the establishment of the old was maintained. He was told, according to some of the readings, that he could stay away from church, thanks. Don't bother coming. We learned an effective way to deal with people we don't like a long time ago. You don't need to come to the marketplaces either, because they may just never find the pieces of your body. Do you get the point? They didn't like him? And then Jesus called him. And by invitation of the Holy Spirit, his life changed. And by faith, he became a new creature in Christ and a servant of the Lord. He understood that his resources and his relationships needed to match. What he did with money and time and energy and talent needed to fit with what he believed. And in the midst of his new life, he became one of the most respected writers and theologians of his time, sticking extraordinarily close to the message that Jesus came not to obstruct the law, but to fulfill the law, and to fulfill it in faith. Now, like last week, some of you historians who are sitting here today are deeply pleased with the last 2 or 3 minutes. It gives you some insight into one of the saints in the church, and it gives you a historical context to what I'm about to say. The Gospels are a lot of fun if you really want to spend the time. On Tuesday, I had a mild panic attack when the first 4 commentaries gave me no insight whatsoever into what needed to be said today to you. Can we presume for a moment that you are a unique group of people, that you have a unique set of needs, that when you listen, you want to be able to apply what you hear into your daily life? And you would rather if I was under 25 minutes. I meant to say 12. I was working. So here it is. The manager in the story, who is revealed to be a thief, a cheater, and all those other phrases I used at the beginning of the homily, this is what happens. He discovers that his boss, the owner, has been cheating everybody for years. And so he decides he's going to follow the moral and ethical compass left by his boss and follow suit and therefore cheat everybody while he's moving along. Only his boss catches him on his own stuff, Have you ever worked for a boss like this? Oh, don't look at me. There's just too many of you who just maybe once in your life worked for somebody that didn't say, play everything above board. And so what he does is he follows suit and he cheats them that he gets caught and his boss says, you're fired. You're out. Only he does something unusual. He warns him. It goes like this in the morning. Finish your shift and you're fired at 4 o'clock. Which gave him a little time to plan and to think and to process. So what he does is he goes back to each one of the clients and he says, cut your bill by some percentage. And later, when this is all over, remember that I did this for you and we're friends. He's taking care of his future. Now, he's doing it dishonestly, but he's taking care of his future. In other words, he's using the resources that he has in the moment to take care of relationships. He has begun in a very complex way to understand the connection between resources and relationships. Well, the boss finds out and sits him down and goes, wow, you're better at this than I am. I'm really impressed with how profoundly, brilliantly dishonest you are. But if you look at it at first glance, it looks like, Jesus, where are you going? Here's the problem. We can't see Jesus' face. We can't hear the tone of his voice. It's why I prefer face-to-face conversation. I really don't enjoy emails between you and I. And the reason is we can't see each other's faces. We can't hear the tone of each other's voices. I don't know your heart by your email. You don't know my heart by a Facebook post. Relationships and resources need to connect in healthy ways. Now, there are some in leadership of this church that would like me to say to you today that if you would please move the church from wherever it is on your priority list to the top, we would appreciate that. I would say it's more important that you look at your priority list and find out if you're actually using all your resources to your priorities or the priorities of those around you that are forcing you to make decisions you're not yet ready to make. We're not going to answer this one today. Are there pressure groups? Are there special interest groups? Are there individuals who are placing a tremendous amount of pressure on you to write checks, to make investments, to do things you're not quite ready to do? You haven't had the time to pray your way through it yet. Your call. I remember a very special friend of mine. We were spending a whole lot of time together, and he said to me, I had Kraft dinner and a hamburger last night. I said, you own a corporation. Your house is worth close to $1 million. You drive a Cadillac, and there's two other sports cars in the driveway, and you are a member of one of the largest boat groups I've ever met. He said, yeah, but I got 4 girls in university. He said, I'm really cool with this because in my priorities, in my matching of my resources and relationships, that's where I want to pour all my resources right now, is into them. Some of you get this? Some of you are just finishing eating Kraft dinner and hamburgers. And the reality of this is only you can decide. Jesus' point was most interesting because you think he's talking to the crowd over here. You think he's telling them this complicated story that leaves most of them saying, huh? But what if he was talking to the people behind him? What if he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and saying, somebody who doesn't have it together has figured it out. Your resources need to match the priorities of your relationships. And he's going to figure it out. He's not there, but he's going to figure it out. How about you guys? And that's the danger of this homily, because if I moved that group over to your group, it could be offensive. Who's Jesus talking to, and what is the core of his message? Clearly, it is this. Set the priorities of your life with your resources and your relationships. Pour your time, talent, and energy and financial resources into the things that really matter to you. Not that you're told to, but that you truly believe you're called to. And as in any really effective homily, the answer stays with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.